I'd like to officially welcome everyone to our Wednesday night PHP product education conference call. My name is Amy, and I'm one of the owners and founders of PHP, and we're really lucky to have with us each and every Wednesday David Sandoval, who's the other owner and founder of PHP, and he has many, many years of experience researching in the field of nutrition. He also has an excellent book out called The Green Foods Bible that I highly encourage everyone to pick up a copy of if you haven't read that yet. So he lectures all over the world and has written an awesome book, and he just has really valuable information that we are so lucky to have him share with us each and every Wednesday. So thank you, Dave, so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Well, it is. It's nice to be so well spoken of. Thank you. I appreciate it. And really, I am dedicated, as so many of our listeners are. This is a community of like-minded people, I believe. Those who are with us tonight are pretty much in agreement that we'd like to live a long life free from disease, that we would like our friends, family, and, of course, our offspring to live long lives free from diseases and complications. And tonight's subject matter is going to get right to the beginning, you might say, go right to the start, and that is the preparation for birth. So we have battle plans, and the battle plans typically follow a very, a sort of a standard order of things, don't they, Amy?
Yes, they typically do. Usually we start a battle plan, conference call or education conference call on a battle plan by saying, what is the subject and how does this happen?
Well, since tonight's subject is pregnancy, I think everybody listening probably knows what that is. And more than likely, they know how that happens. Now, for those of you who don't, please hang up the phone and ask your parents. No. But this is a call where we are going to, obviously work with a subject matter that everybody is familiar with, and we're going to try to gain some, I guess, additional knowledge and enlightenment on the subject.
Well, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, we're doing this call because January happens to be National Birth Defects Awareness Month, and we thought that it would be a really good time to talk about what you can do as a woman, or even what you can do as a couple, to get yourself ready for pregnancy, because pregnancy is something that...
It's not like before, is it? It used to be very spontaneous, it would just be...
It just happened.
It just happened, but in today's schedule, today's schedule, listen to me, in today's lifestyle...
And it's heavily scheduled lifestyle.
Correct. It probably is important not only for the reason that you might be thinking, oh, what a type A personality, he wants to schedule his child. No. The question is, are you ready for pregnancy? There's a very serious difference between pregnancy 100 years ago and pregnancy today. We're bringing children into a different world, and we live in a different world. We live in a compromised world where food is compromised, where we're surrounded by chemicals, where we're surrounded by toxic compounds. How is it that we could believe that those things won't impact the future health of our baby if they are impacting our health today? Unhealthy mother, unhealthy baby. Overweight mother, overweight baby. Diseased mother, disease-prone mother, disease-prone baby. These are the facts of life, and we want to do something for all of you who might be planning a family so that you can have the freedom and the from fear and the confidence that you're doing the right thing by yourself, by your wife, your husband, your child, your family. So, Amy, where do we start?
Well, usually you think, well, I'm going to have a baby, or I have to prepare my home. I have to create a healthy environment to raise this baby, and you start thinking about your finances and worrying about that, and you start thinking about the baby's nursery, and you start thinking about college in 18 years. And all these crazy thoughts run through your head, but what you actually should be thinking about first and foremost is a healthy internal environment for the mother to have a healthy healthy body to conceive the child.
Yeah, you'll have 9 months to get that crib picked out. The question is, how many months do you have to prepare your body to be the incubator, to be the carrier of that child for 9 months during its development? If you have a car and you're going to take it on a really long journey, you know that you're going to make sure that the tires have enough rubber on them, that you have a spare tire, and I don't mean that type of spare tire, that you have enough resources with you in order to carry you on that journey. The car is strong enough and you have the resources. Think about it that way, and it's sort of crazy to think, well, wow, I wouldn't drive across the country without being prepared. How could you carry a baby for 9 months on that journey and not be prepared?
Exactly. And so what we want to talk about, or what we want to stress, is that detoxification is essential to ensuring your body is free of drug residues that might be a detriment to conception and to carrying a full-term healthy baby. Also, toxins, environmental toxins, toxins in our food. So detoxification plays a humongous part in what we're going to be talking about here.
We've also done some research, and I've determined that there's sort of an ideal time. You can't always choose, but if you are going to choose, I have a recommendation, and that is that you, if you can, choose your birth date. The best time to have a baby is during the sunny months of summer and spring. And
isn't
the
that
reason,
type A and over planning?
Oh, I guess I'm now falling into that category, but there's a little bit of a reason for it.
I'm just kidding.
I love the vitamin D. You know, I love the sunshine. I love the availability of fresh produce and the availability of fresh fruits for the mother. And so that's one of the reasons I recommend that. Of course, you could have a healthy baby 12 months a year. I guarantee it. And if you want them to be angry at you for the rest of your life, just have their birthday right around Christmas.
Right.
But,
that is absolutely true. I know a bunch of people with December birthdays, and they don't like it.
But let's get back to our planning here, Amy. Take us on, please.
Well, we talk about that that you have to be nutritionally prepared. You have to have a sound diet. You have to prepare yourself nutritionally in order to avoid stillbirths, in order to avoid or lessen the potential of birth defects and other related...
Even preemies, that's a dangerous condition, for instance.
Absolutely. And, there's a lot of other developmental conditions that are nutritionally related as far as, you know, the baby's cognitive ability and the baby's ability...
Fetal development...
And mental development, their behavior in the future. And so it's kind of funny if you think, wow, if I'm taking care of myself really well right now and I'm really supporting myself nutritionally, this might lead to a child that behaves a little better.
That behaves a lot better. Now, women planning to become pregnant, they really should undergo a preconception, complete head-to-toe physical examination. They should screen for breast and cervical skin. Cancers, for sexually transmitted diseases. You should make sure that you don't have any residues of drugs or alcohol or tobacco abuse in your blood, because you don't want your baby to be born addicted to nicotine. So that's really important. That's how to sort of, these are some, a little bit of, you know, preparation. Look at your body and say, hey, what state am I in right now? And after you've taken, you know, a real good look at your actual health and, you know, what you might need to do to change yourself, and we're going to tell you all about that. We're going to talk about nutrition. We're going to give you interesting facts you should know. We're going to talk about specific nutrients, why you need them, what they do, what the implication is if you don't get them. We're going to talk about all of that. But once you've done that, now come back to that first point that Amy said most people start with, and that is...
And that's baby-proofing your home. And what we're going to talk about now, it's not going around and putting those child safety locks on all the kitchen cabinets or putting the little plugs and the electrical outlets. We're talking about don't get new carpet that's going to off-gas. New furniture also has a lot of could have a lot of toxins that are degassing. Also, check the kind of cleansers and household products that you're using around your house, because they can be full of toxins that you may not even, you know, be aware of. So check your laundry detergent, check your dishwasher detergent, check what you're washing your hair with. You know, all types of products that you use in and around the home that can be contributing to that already big toxic load that most of us are carrying.
Exactly. Now, the other thing is you've got to make sure that your room is properly ventilated. Did you just say that?
No.
Okay, that your room is properly ventilated, and that will get rid of some of the gases that build up inside of, potentially inside of your room, because you want the room to be warm. So you usually surround it with a lot of, you know, you have nice carpet and, you know, and of course you have good curtain on the and the windows sealed because you don't want any drafts to your baby. You still got to open that window. You got to get some air flowing through there. You got to get fresh air in there. And you've got to be careful not to have a lot of things around, like stuffed animals and even that carpet and those heavy drapes and things. Avoid all of that. Go simplicity. Go mini blinds. Go a natural wood floor that doesn't have chemicals that are outgassing. Don't have all of those cute little stuffed animals necessarily. Have paper cutouts. They still have the same effect on the eye. You know, have those types of things. And that is going to stimulate the baby. But just avoid the things that hold dust mites and dust and things like that, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, like you were saying, the proper ventilation in a baby's room has actually been linked to avoiding the onset of asthma. So
absolutely,
the
great
ventilation
point.
Is very, very important.
Well, there's some crazy stuff that goes on during pregnancy. Hormone secretions change radically. That causes physical and emotional changes. Most women experience really crazy sort of roller coaster emotional episodes during the first trimester because they're just not used to that. They sort of get used to it, but the estrogen and the progesterone levels are 100 times higher than usual during pregnancy. That is amazing. Women, ladies, God bless you. God bless you all, because as a man, I am never going to have to experience that. Well, never mind. directly.
Directly, you might get the wrath of
that.
It.
Now, immediately after birth, they drop back to pre-pregnancy levels as a pituitary hormone called prolactin. The body, in its intelligence, begins to produce prolactin, and that stimulates the production of breast milk. Well, as soon as the body starts producing prolactin, then those hormone levels drop back to normal. And this is very important to note, that those hormone levels drop back to normal, because you don't want to have excess hormone activity in the newborn baby. It will accelerate that baby's development too quickly and actually have a negative effect on the development of bones and teeth and even the brain and the hypothalamus. So very important, very, very important to follow those guidelines.
Exactly. Well, should we move on to some facts that you should know?
Definitely. I think some things that we really have to think about is throughout pregnancy, the body is going to create endorphins, and the endorphins are hormones that are like painkillers and tranquilizers. That increases throughout pregnancy. It continues to rise during labor when it reaches its peak levels. Now, these hormonal changes could lead to things that we call morning sickness. So there's the first fact you should know. Morning sickness is caused by the production of the natural painkillers. And so it's actually preparing your body many times, whenever your body has a change in hormone levels, you really feel it, and that gives you that morning sickness. But there is another fact you should know, that nutritionally, your body could counteract that, and you could minimize morning sickness by 60 or 70%.
Absolutely. Well, there's another interesting fact is that we've all heard about the folate, folic acid in the news, and that the common medical practitioners recommend at least 400 micrograms of this B vitamin nutrient, the folate or folic acid, from green veggies or a supplement, because the defects of neural tube syndrome can often be prevented with these quantities, added to the diet. So folate, folic acid is something that's very important to add into the diet.
Absolutely. And some great sources of folate or folic acid are green leafy vegetables and sulfur-containing things like eggs or broccoli and cabbage. Those are great sources of folate. And, of course, spina bifida is perhaps the condition that is most associated with a deficiency of folic acid. And so that's a great point to make, Amy. Now, another thing that's very interesting, and Amy, in our research, a lot of women believe that, they're doing the right thing for their babies, right? Women aren't just out there going, hey, I don't really care. Most women I know who are pregnant, for the most part, are trying to be conscientious. So that's why this research that was done really surprised me. Why don't you tell everybody what I'm talking about there?
Well, in a study of 76 pregnant women, 78% of them had glaring nutritional deficiencies, and that is really scary because, as Dave said, most people, once they know that they're pregnant, they are being more conscious than before they were pregnant. When you're just eating for yourself, maybe you don't care as much, but when you have a growing baby inside, you're really thinking about what you're putting in your mouth. And so if 78% of women have nutritional deficiencies while they're pregnant and paying attention, what is going on pre-pregnancy?
Exactly. Yeah, that would be scary. And the thing is, it's knowledge. People don't really know that during pregnancy, your body requires twice as much calcium as it needs pre-pregnancy. It requires twice as much folic acid as it does pre-pregnancy. It requires 50% more vitamin B12 than it does, and it requires about 30 to 40% more overall B vitamins, pyridoxine, B1, B3, B6, B2. And so all those B vitamins, folic acid and everything between folic acid and B12, appear to play a tremendous role in the development of the fetus. Now, there's a lot of other facts that people should probably know that we have been going over, and I think that we've got a list, a pretty long list, but we think they're pretty important. So why don't we start with breastfeeding?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, and these are not in any particular order, but we found in several studies that breastfeeding actually can prevent asthma, and that the studies recommend no less than 12 months and up to 24 months, and it can also prevent allergies as well as eczema.
And a lot of those things seem to have a similar root. We also note that the body's expanding, and when the body's expanding, you don't only need extra vitamins like the ones we noted, but you need extra minerals as well.
Absolutely. Extra, like you mentioned earlier, calcium and magnesium, and studies show that toxemia, which is a condition that usually happens late in the pregnancy, can be brought on by a deficiency in calcium, magnesium, in high-quality sources of protein, as well as B vitamins, choline, and B6.
So absolutely.
Making sure that you're having a nutritionally sound diet is very important to avoid the serious condition that you can even be hospitalized or be prescribed bed rest for, called toxemia.
Now, toxemia, for those of you who don't know, is when undigested food actually enters the bloodstream and it's caused by a disruption in your body's natural digestive processes, there aren't enough minerals to trigger the enzymes that break down the foods. So when you provide the body with the proper minerals, they're the catalyst of enzymes, which are the catalyst of digestion, the food gets broken down properly. It doesn't go into the bloodstream undigested. The undigested food, of course, begins to decompose, and that decomposing food, rotten food in your bloodstream, is toxic, thus the term toxemia, because it gives off gases, just like that nasty smell in your trash can. That is happening in your bloodstream. Not a good thing.
No, not a good thing.
Now, we covered folic acid, but there are some things that we'd like to sort of, as far as warn people about. But first, there's a little bit of exercise that is necessary and very important. So why don't you cover what we recommend as far as what exercise is allowed, not allowed, things like that.
Well, we recommend, comfortably paced, non-jarring exercise. You don't necessarily need to break a sweat, but things such as low-impact aerobics, walking, yoga, swimming is excellent and can increase your stamina for labor. Also, these exercises strengthen muscles that are used during delivery and can enhance the ability to cope with the pain of labor a little bit better. So we definitely recommend keeping up some type of light exercise on a daily or at least multiple time a week basis.
Okay, now, I did Health Talk Radio for a long, long time, and everybody would call and say, well, hey, my wife's pregnant, and, she's a vegetarian, and I told her that, she's got to eat meat. There's a reason for that, and that's because meat has vitamin B12, but there's other solutions, aren't there?
Absolutely. Well, a well-chosen vegetarian diet can be healthy for a pregnant woman, but if you do contain, if the diet does contain no animal products at all, including dairy and eggs, you should do something to get yourself extra vitamin B12. And a natural way to do this, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, is incorporating spirulina into the diet.
Absolutely. Fermented foods also are a decent source of B12, so there are ways that you could do that, and there are some things, however, we want to warn people about, and so Amy, I made a little short list. We put that together for folks, and there's reasons why. So why don't we talk about some of the things and some of the reasons why we know scientists have said absolutely these are dangerous, these are toxic. Avoid these at all costs during pregnancy.
The first one would probably be French fries, which we all should probably avoid, pregnant or not. Potato chips or other foods that contain the cancer-causing chemical acrylamide. Did I say that right?
That's correct.
Acrylamide. And the danger of pregnant and breastfeeding mothers ingesting this acrylamide has been confirmed in several studies. Fetuses and newborn babies are particularly susceptible to this, to the potential harmful effects of this chemical, and are at greater risk because of their generally higher body water levels and because of the blood-brain barriers are not fully developed. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on what that means?
Well, the bottom line is that we oftentimes forget that until the child is at least 24, 36 months old, that they have not fully developed their neural capabilities. In other words, the brain is not fully developed yet. And that this is why it's so dangerous to give, inoculations during that time period. And that's why there's some evidence that indicates that you should absolutely wait to do that until after the brain has fully developed. And so it is really important to not in any way compromise the development of the baby during that time. And so this is obviously very sound advice to follow, because there's a delicate situation that you do not want to obviously harm the child
during
that time.
Expose your baby to. Exactly.
Exactly.
And another advice about food is you do not want to consume the same thing, including and probably especially dairy, maybe wheat as well, on a daily basis, as that practice of having something in your body on an everyday basis can increase your child's chances of developing a food allergy.
Absolutely. And I apologize if I sounded distracted a moment ago. I was had my eyes over on this study that I was looking at, and it was actually talking about acrylamide and some of the other things that acrylamide causes, the cancer and the slow development of brain waves and things like that. Acrylamide, as you guys know, is what happens to the starch in potatoes when they're heated and combined with oil. And so anytime you can combine a cooking oil, even a good cooking oil, with potato and heat it to a super high heat, this acrylamide is created, and it really has problems within the body. But some of the things we really want you to avoid are contact with rodents. If there's any way, shape, or form that there are mice or rats in and around, or if you have pets that are rodents, out of the house, sanitize the house, again, because the fecal matter of rodents is particularly toxic to the development of children. You need to relax. You have got to breathe. Don't let things get you stressed out. You need to be able to let go and just, you know, just say to people, not now. Never.
That's easier said than done.
Never use drugs, not recreational drugs, and try to avoid all pharmaceutical drugs if possible. They have side effects that could impact the development of your child. Drinking and smoking are prohibited, period. Amen and end of story. If you've got a drinking or smoking problem, you need to solve that problem before you become pregnant. It's that simple. And another thing is Accutane. Accutane is an acne drug. You've got to stop using it. It's been linked to serious birth defects.
Yeah.
You can't be flying all around the world or the country on vacations, going up in planes. Planes expose your body to extra levels of radiation. There's extreme levels of other people's bacteria and things floating in the air. You can't expose yourself to that. And I guess sort of crazy, people don't realize it, but no long hot showers, no hot tubs, no large increase in body temperatures, meaning excessive exercise, travel to exotic tropical locations. These things are out. That's on the do not do list. And Amy, would you take us down the things? Take us down the good stuff. Take us down what they can do, what they should do.
Well, a pregnant woman should eat lots of greens to make sure you're getting adequate amounts of vitamin K. You should consume foods rich in vitamin C. You should minimize your exposure to environmental toxins, like we talked about earlier. Go through your home and check your cleaning products and your household products and even your soaps and shampoos. You should drink lots of purified water. You've got to keep yourself hydrated. You want to try to breastfeed for as long as absolutely possible. And you also want to consume essential fatty acids. The good fats are very important to the developing fetus, as well as eating as many fruits and vegetables for fiber and other valuable nutrients as possible. And you want to eat whole grains, you want to eat legumes, you want to eat beans, and you want to eat small fish. You don't want to eat, there's certain fish which are certainly on the no-no list, and there's other fish like salmon that is very good and very beneficial for a pregnant woman to consume.
Now, the no-no list are bottom-feeding fish and large migratory fish. So the larger the fish, the longer lead has had to accumulate in its body. So you don't get the large, fancy albacore tuna. Okay, you get the regular one. Of course, you want it to be, obviously line caught and not caged. No caged fish. It has antibiotics and hormones. Only line caught wild fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines, the other little fish. Anyway.
Exactly, and also to eat 5 to 6 small but nutrient dense meals a day is much more, is much healthier. It's also going to help you avoid digestive troubles than eating three really large meals a day and avoid, well, I was on the do list, but never mind. I was going to say avoid greasy food because that is definitely going to cause indigestion.
Also avoid, like, avoid things like psyllium during this time. And I don't mean all psyllium. I mean just, you know, when you just put a scoop of psyllium in this, a scoop of psyllium in that, not a good time to do that. You want to leave as much friendly bacteria in your body as possible. Overtaking psyllium or harsh fiber products will eliminate it. But we've got a list of nutritional recommendations. And during the listing of these nutritional recommendations, I'm going to go back and review the nutritional impact of them, what conditions might be avoided if these foods are incorporated into the diet. So why don't we go ahead and start with the sort of nutritional supplements that we would recommend and give our justifications for them and how they help fulfill the needs of the body during this time.
Okay. Well, the first one on the list is flax seeds. Because they're a wonderful source of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. And we recommend that you grind a half a cup of the organic blonde Flax Advantage flax seeds. And you can add them to salads, soups, oatmeal, yogurt, smoothies, etc., but during the first and second trimester only.
Okay, so here's what's going on with flax. There are studies that show that the IQ of your baby is greatly impacted by the erosion of the myelin sheath on your nerve endings. Your nerve endings pass information from your body to the unborn fetus. And during the development of nerve endings within the baby's body, essential fatty acids are vitally important. So as the baby's body is developing, the lack of essential fatty acids in your body could greatly reduce the IQ of the unborn child. So flax seeds are loaded with omega-3 fatty acids. Those are the fatty acids that are responsible for restoring integrity to the myelin sheath of the nerve endings. This is a no-brainer, and it's an absolute must during the first and second trimester, and then again 2 to 3 months after the baby's born, you could start taking them again. You'd take them for 6 months, off for 6 months, and then on for 6 months again. The outer part of flaxseed has something called lignan. Lignan is more effective than tamoxifen in one study at preventing tumors in the breast. Well, the great part is that sometimes the excessive tissue growth in the breast during this change in your body could later on lead to and can contribute to an increased risk for cancer. We're going to deal with that. And lastly, there is a soluble fiber in flax seeds that is really beneficial in helping eliminate excess toxins from your body that might accumulate while all of your organs are being squeezed together because of the growing fetus within you. So that having been said, there are other sources of essential fats that you will then rely upon during the third trimester, and they're also part of what we call a natural multivitamin. This is our prenatal vitamin, isn't it, Amy?
Right, and that I think you're referring to is our spirulina.
Correct.
Which provides non-animal protein sources, or a non-animal protein source. It's also very rich in vitamin K. And so we recommend that you take take a tablespoon of spirulina daily, and you can mix it with a smoothie, or you can sprinkle it on top of popcorn, which is really good, and it is awesome to be taken or consumed during the first, second, or third trimester. So the whole duration of the pregnancy, spirulina
is before, during, and after.
Exactly.
Now, spirulina is the richest source of vital nutrients of any single food on the face of the earth. It's loaded with vegetarian protein. It has B1, B2, B3, B6, thiamine. It has folate. It has vitamin B12. It has vitamin C. Most importantly, it is really loaded as well with those essential fatty acids that are found in flaxseed. It is a phenomenal natural multivitamin, and when combined with two other foods that we're going to recommend, completes your nutritional needs from food during your entire pregnancy. So spirulina is immune boosting as well, and it also helps the body to normalize the transmission of the neurotransmission. So very important for the development of your child, nature's multivitamin. In addition to that, we know that women are going to be breastfeeding. We know that you want to prepare your body for breastfeeding. And in order to do that, you want to make sure that your breast milk is going to be nutritious, that it's going to be really an amazing source of vitality for your child. For that, we recommend another healthy fat called virgin organic coconut oil. We call ours tropic oil. Now, there's a couple of reasons why you want it later on during breastfeeding, because the fatty acids that it will provide in your breast milk that are so important for boosting the immunity of your child. But it is also antiviral, antiparasitic. It is helps to stimulate an underactive thyroid, but it also has certain benefits to the skin, doesn't it? So why don't you talk about that very quickly?
Absolutely. If you rub it on your ever-growing belly, it can help your skin retain its natural elasticity and prevent stretch marks. So, and also your skin is one of the biggest organs of your body, and sometimes we forget that the skin actually can absorb nutrients as well as consuming them, you know, orally. So you can also benefit nutritionally from rubbing the tropic oil or the extra virgin organic coconut oil on directly onto the skin.
Now, it is particularly necessary in the third trimester and immediately following during breastfeeding. But, of course, it can be used during the first and second trimester if you want to, as Amy said, just to help your skin quality during the development of your baby. Now, the recommendation to have abundant B vitamins is something we certainly haven't ignored. And we have a solution to that, don't we? And it's one of our favorite products. Why don't you tell them about Rice Bran and why it is so important in this prenatal vitamin mix with spirulina?
Well, the Rice Bran, or the product that we promote that we find very concentrated, also very palatable and easy to use, is the Rice Bran Solubles, and it's loaded with naturally occurring B vitamins. It's loaded with natural antioxidants as well as vitamin E type tocotrienols, which are very, very potent members of the vitamin E family. So the Rice Bran Solubles, it tastes great, and it has an abundance of those B vitamins that we've been talking about earlier.
It's the perfect complement to, it is absolutely the perfect complement to spirulina, and combined together is the quintessential multivitamin, prenatal vitamin, not just if you're pregnant, but actually any time. Now, there is perhaps a need for minerals that is particularly evidenced by the magnesium and the calcium need, but your body also is going to need those other minerals that trigger the enzymes, and those deficiencies in minerals that lead to the enzymes not helping the food digest that leads to toxemia. That whole connection is there. So because of that, probably our final recommendation nutritionally is perhaps one of the most important, and it's one of our newest products, one of our most, I would say, appreciated products. There is a tremendous amount of, following, a very, very good and loyal following to this product, and it has the magnesium, it has the calcium, but it also has every other mineral necessary that your body will need during this vital time. And there's ways that you can combine these things. We've recommended about 5 or 6 different supplements. Every one of them meets a requirement that is vital during this time in your life. They detoxify. They prepare your body to give birth. They prepare your child during its development, and they nourish you and your child postpartum. And for that reason, these aren't just light recommendations. This is one of the few times that I say I'm not just saying you should do this. I'm telling you to do this because it's that important.
Well, we need to tell them what product you're referring to. That's the Ionic Element.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very much.
It's a very valuable source of magnesium, which is so important for pregnant women.
Absolutely. So that having been said, there are protocols that we recommend, and I was hoping, Amy, you'd speak with clarity on it when we discuss these protocols. So I'm going to throw that over to you with your permission and ask you to, for the people who are taking notes, to sort of take them down the full recommendation, the products, how they could be combined, when's the best time to take them, and how much they need to take.
Okay. Well, we talked about, first and foremost, the flaxseed, and we talked about taking a half cup or grind a half cup of the Flax Advantage Organic Blonde flax seeds, and you can actually add that to foods like salad, soups, oatmeal, or you can mix it in like a smoothie or drink. So that was the first thing, but we said that is only in the first or second trimester, and then stop, discontinue that in the third trimester. Then throughout the entire course of the pregnancy, we recommend taking at least 10 grams, which is like a rounded tablespoon, of spirulina. You can mix that in a smoothie. You can mix with water if you like. You can take capsules if you'd like, or you can sprinkle it on popcorn or other foods. And again, that is recommended through the entire pregnancy. Also, something else recommended through the entire pregnancy, but with an emphasis in the third trimester and during breastfeeding, is the tropic oil. And we recommend taking or ingesting a tablespoon of the tropic oil raw, and then you can also rub it directly on your skin, and you will absorb some of the nutrients that way as well, and that helps prevent stretch marks. Also, the rice bran solubles, we recommend 2 tablespoons or 10 grams of the rice bran solubles, and I like to mix that with the spirulina. It helps kind of cut back on the harsh taste of the spirulina, so that is my recommendation, and that is recommended through the entire pregnancy for the B vitamins and the vitamin E. Also, the Ionic Elements, we recommend 20 to 40 drops a day. And that can be mixed in your smoothie with your spirulina and rice bran solubles, or you can just put it in your bottled water that you carry with you, because you need to make sure that you always have water with you and you're staying really well hydrated. And one other nutrient that we forgot to talk about was the C from nature. Or vitamin C is also very important, and we recommend, of course, a food-based approach to the vitamin C, not just ascorbic acid off the shelf at the drugstore. And so we recommend taking 3 to 6 capsules of the C from nature on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And that is, really not that hard to do. This is really not, going to take too much time out of your life. And if you incorporate the do not do's along with our do's, I was going to say our doo-doos, but that might not have sounded very good. and the exercise that we recommend, taking care of your house, making sure to prepare it for to be free of chemicals and toxins and accumulated gases. And all of those things combined are going to give you the very best chance of having a healthy baby and of giving him the best possible start, and her, excuse me, giving that child best possible chance of surviving in what is truly a toxic world. And, this is not the same way it was 100 years ago. Things truly have changed. And because circumstances have changed, our actions need to change. And we need to not just react to what we see. We need to act. And we can't wait until our child is compromised and try to do something about it. We need to be proactive, and we need to create that future that we really, want for our child today. It's not something we can wait to do. So this was an important call. I know it at times, you know, perhaps it seems like it went on for, you know, went on and on, but 45 minutes is not too much time to dedicate to this subject and for the future of your family. So thank you for having taken the time to listen. We do want to give you the opportunity to ask questions if you'd like. So Amy, would you please wrap things up? You do that so well. And let us know, you know, wrap things up and let us know again how we could listen to this call again, how we could access this information and send it on to friends, and any other final comments you'd like to make on this subject.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. If you like this information, if you know someone that is trying to get pregnant or is currently pregnant, you know, please share this information with them. This call will be available on the replay line starting tomorrow. Will we cross our fingers? At area code 212-461-8911. And the reason I said this is because the first time we did the call, it didn't get recorded, but it should be recording tonight and available at 212-461-8911. Starting tomorrow, it will play for an entire week. Also, we will permanently archive the call on our website. You can access that by going to www.phporder.com, clicking under education on the education tab, and then clicking on conference calls. And you can search by date or you can search by topic, and then you can either play it right there directly on your computer or download it as well. And if we have your email address on file, we will email you out a direct web link where you can click on that, play it directly on your computer, or better yet, forward it along to a friend or family member who may be going through the challenges of trying to get pregnant or maybe is pregnant and could highly benefit from the information. So we try to make it as easy as possible to share what we're talking about tonight.
Absolutely. And I believe that now is a great time then to take questions if anybody has any. We just have a few minutes tonight, so if anybody has a question, now is a great time.
Okay, well, I've just unlocked the phone, so if there's any questions, please feel free to ask.
Dave, what would you recommend for babies when they have colds, especially now that, I mean, this is the winter month? What would you recommend when they develop a bunch of lung congestion?
Well, the most important thing is to know is whether you're breastfeeding or not.
Yes, she. I mean, this is a future grandchild, and she, my daughter, will be breastfeeding.
What you do is you have a lot of green foods and a lot of coconut oil, and those are both going to boost the immunity of the breast milk and of the child.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions tonight?
I just wanted to add for that last question that the activated barley, the coconut oil, as well as we noted, the green drink, the spirulina, those three things, the spirulina, the coconut oil, and the activated barley are going to create a very healthy breast milk. And so that's also part of the postpartum, you know, recommendation.
Exactly, and it's very important to have plenty of B12 during that postpartum time period to keep your mood elevated and to keep the breast milk flowing. And that's going to be provided with the spirulina as well as also in the rice bran solubles. Any other questions out there tonight? Okay, well, it looks like we don't have any other questions. So I want to thank you, Dave, so much for your time and all your knowledge. We really appreciated it. And we will be back with you next week, same time, same place. And we're going to be talking about thyroid disease. It's something that affects a lot of us. And some people have hyperthyroid, some people have hypothyroid. So we're going to be addressing those issues next Wednesday. So please tune in, and we look forward to speaking with you then. Thanks so much, and have a great week.